It's 2 o'clock.
A Russian opposition leader is shot dead. Ice storms are messing with Texas. I'm Molly Page. Another storm packing freezing rain is making travel difficult in parts of Texas and Oklahoma. Roads are iced over and more than 1,000 flights have been canceled.
Dallas-Fort Worth, the leader in delays and cancellations across the country this afternoon. There's over 1,300 flight delays and 1,100 flight cancellations at this hour, according to FlightAware. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
In Russia, prominent opposition figure Boris Nemtsov was shot dead in the shadow of the Kremlin in what appears to be a targeted killing. The murder sparked outrage among fellow opposition figures, including Vladimir Kara-Murza.
When a leader of the democratic opposition is shot by a professional killer 200 yards away from the Kremlin, from Putin's residence, in an area which is obviously closely monitored by security cameras and security services, this is an act of political terrorism. There's no other way to describe it.
An anti-government march tomorrow has been canceled. I'm Molly Page. A change of venue is denied in the Boston Marathon bombing trial. Correspondent Gary Cohen.
Dzhokhar Tsarnaev will be tried in Boston. A petition that called for a change of venue for the accused Boston Marathon bomber was rejected by a federal appeals court on Friday. Opening statements in the trial are expected to start March 4th. Three people were killed, nearly 300 injured in the 2013 incident. If convicted, he could receive the death penalty. I'm Gary Cohen.
Homeland Security Department funding continues. Correspondent Dana Bash says the vote came down to the wire.
Less than 2 hours before the clock was set to strike midnight and the Department of Homeland Security would lose its funding from Congress, they actually voted finally to extend that funding just for 7 days. But it did not come without incredible drama, nail-biting suspense, and a lot of chaos here on Capitol Hill.
The extension will give both sides more time to work out their differences. I'm Molly Page.
Hunting for a used vehicle you can trust? All Honda certified pre-owned vehicles are backed by an outstanding Honda limited warranty that provides coverage of engine and transmission components for up to 7 years or 100,000 miles from the original purchase date. They're even KBB.com's most trusted brand for 3 years running. We think that's pretty trustworthy. Find the right vehicle for you at HondaCertified.com and search for local inventory. Start something special with Honda certified pre-owned vehicles.
Based on 2014 brand image awards from Kelley Blue Book, visit KBB.com for more information. See your Honda dealer for limited warranty details.
When our water heater broke down last month, it took 5 hours for the plumber to show up, and he charged us a couple of $100 just to come out. Then it cost another $1,800 to put in the new water heater. I felt like I'd been taken, but what else could I do?
The smartest thing you can do is get a home warranty from American Residential Warranty. Their home warranties pay to repair or replace all your major appliances when they break. Just call 800-711-6816. That's 800-711-6816.
A California lawmaker has proposed a law that would ban Major League ball players from using smokeless tobacco products at the ballpark.
Baseball and chewing tobacco used to go together like April and showers. For many players, it still does. It's not uncommon to see a player with a bit of a bulge in his lower lip and spitting in between swings and plays. But a proposed law in California would have those players leaving their dip at home when they road trip west.
A star for the ages for Tony Gwynn, number 3,000.
Mr. Padre Tony Gwynn died last June from cancer of the saliva gland. While some research will argue that his rare form of cancer was not connected to his use of smokeless tobacco, Gwynn told ESPN otherwise.
There's no reason for a tumor to grow there other than the fact that, yeah, I used to shoot tobacco and put it on the right side.
Smokeless tobacco was already banned in minor league baseball. Jim Roop, Los Angeles.
There's a recall by Fiat Chrysler of more than 467,000 SUVs due to faulty fuel pumps. And the company says the problem could cause the engine to stall. No crashes have been reported. I'm Molly Page.
I could either ignore it or face it. My child had trouble grasping math concepts. You don't want your kids to fail at math. You want them to have confidence and the skills to take them where their dreams are. Math Made Easy wants to make you an offer. They'll improve your student's grade by at least one full grade or your money back. Teachers can't slow the pace for each student. Math Made Easy can. For more than 20 years, Math Made Easy has been helping hundreds of thousands of students grasp challenging math concepts using a step-by-step approach. The affordable Math Made Easy programs help students visualize math concepts with engaging and dynamic lessons. Students learn at their own pace. Call 1-800-USA-MATH. That's 1-800-USA-MATH. Or visit mathmadeeasy.com. Enter code R6 for a special discount. Call 1-800-872-6284 or visit mathmadeeasy.com and enter code R6 for a special discount.
AM 1300 WMEL.
Look for a 70% chance of showers today with winds out of the east gusting up to 20 miles per hour, high near 72. Tonight, a 40% chance of rain with a low of 67. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a 40% chance of showers and a high of 79. Sunday night, patchy fog with a low of 62. And Monday, once the fog goes away, partly sunny skies with a high near 76. Hear the Garden Rebel, Robert Vincent Sims, Sunday mornings 10 a.m. to 12 noon on the Talk to Me station, AM 1300 WMEL.
It's Atlanta.
They're door-to-door into turn three.
Four wide out of turn number four, but they're behind Kevin Harvick.
Where they like to go fast.
Denny Hamlin on the low side. Kevin Harvick up high, down to the line. Give it to Denny Hamlin by a foot, but Harvick rallies back to the outside as they race to one.
Sunday, March 1st. It's the Folds of Honor Quick Trip 500.
Three through behind her.
Beginning at 12 noon.
Sunday on your home for NASCAR, AM 1300 WMEL.
AM 1300 WMEL.
The views expressed on the following program are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and are not necessarily those of WMEL staff, management, or advertisers.
This is Bull Talk Business Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, the CEO of Bull's Marketing Solutions, Donna Anselmo.
Hello and welcome to AM 1300 WMEL, the Talk to Me station. This is Donna Anselmo, host of Bold Talk Business Radio, where we talk about issues relating to business every week. And our goal and our mission is to provide you with insights, strategies, tips, and tools for your success. So whether you're a business owner, a business professional, somebody looking for a job and looking to learn that next little piece of knowledge that will land you the position you're looking for, this is really the place to go. I've become fond of saying you can go to college, you can get a master's degree, or you can listen to Bold Talk Business Radio for free and get a lot of the information that you really would like to know. What we're going to talk about today is really from Wall Street to Main Street, we're going to bring you information to keep your business safe from legal harm. Investments attorney Russell Weigel worked as an attorney for the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission, and his Miami-based law firm now practices security law in areas such as taking companies public, preparing SEC filings, advising on SEC compliance matters, preparing private capital raise documents, and protecting clients from securities regulators and other plaintiffs. So why are we going to discuss this today? Well, because when the SEC was established in 1934, it was designed to enforce securities laws passed in response to the stock market crash in 1929. So the SEC regulates individuals and institutions who sell securities, such as exchanges, brokers, dealers, investment advisors, and mutual funds. And they require that publicly held companies disclose relevant financial and business information to their investors and potential investors. What's key about this is that the SEC protects the investors from fraudulent offerings. Attorney Russell Weigel is here because he believes it's important to also protect the business owner from making an offering in a way that raises the risk of being sued later by investors or by the SEC if a business owner provided a document or made an offering without following the proper regulations. Russell Weigel, let's set the stage here. What do I risk by fundraising the wrong way besides a jail term?
Well, thank you, Donna, first of all, for having me on the show again. I really appreciate
Anytime.
It.
Anytime.
there are many risks, but the primary risk, I think, the most usual ones are simply financial risks and reputational risks.
So tell me a little bit about how I understand a financial risk. So you can lose money. You would have to pay fees. You would have to hire an attorney to protect you. You would have to fight perhaps a costly legal battle if the SEC came after you. How does a reputation become affected by an offering of a securities document?
Well, first of all, the securities laws are structured in a way that they impose personal liability on every market participant. So anybody involved in an offering is theoretically personally at risk for their own financial net worth is at risk every time they engage in some activity that brings them within the purview of these laws. So, that being said, that's really the starting point of understanding that every time you engage in any kind of capital raising effort, you're putting your own neck on the line.
Your own neck and your own name on the line. And I know from reading in your book that you can have a situation where maybe you didn't mean to do anything wrong. Sometimes you just do the wrong thing because you don't know there's a better way or a right way to do it. And yet, if you get into the logbook of the SEC, your name stays there and it becomes a public document. How does that affect people going forward?
Well, unfortunately, the system by which the government announces that they're bringing actions against people, it's not unique to the SEC. For example, the Department of Justice operates this way. I think every state securities commission operates this way as well. That is, they announce, I'm sure they feel it's a public service, that they announce what they're doing against people to show that they're active. And, the downside of this is there are no rules that I'm aware of at either the state or federal level that dictate when those announcements need to be corrected. And they're all online, and they are usually disseminated to major news media instantly when they're released. So this dissemination of information on the internet, frankly, as we all know, information on the internet never really goes away.
Right. So you could have a situation where your reputation gets trashed because people hear about a case that might have been made against you, whether or not the case had a basis in fact.
Well, that's right. So, for example, if the SEC were to announce that they were bringing fraud charges against a group of individuals or a company, and they made an announcement and they disseminated the announcement, and they proceeded to prosecute their case in court and lost, they almost never publicize the loss. It's only the beginning of the case that gets announced. And basically, I'm sure they would say that, well, that was our announcement, and we have no duty to correct it. And it's up to you to go out and put out your own news.
Right. Well, we're listening to attorney Russell Weigel from Miami, Florida, who is an investment attorney and has special expertise in the areas of securities law. This is Donna Anselmo, host of Bold Talk Business Radio on AM 1300. Stay with us because we've got a very interesting story to tell you. In my career, not an attorney, I am a branding and marketing expert, and so I know how really important it is for people to protect their reputation because perception is everything, and it's easier to start a fresh perception than it is to change a wrong perception. It can, if you have an instrument, you're going to go out and try to raise money for your company. If you don't do it right, people will have a perception that you're trying to put something over on people, that you're conducting business fraudulently. So listening to the tips and the strategies that Attorney Weigel is going to talk about with us over this next hour is really important for you or for your friends who are looking to raise money for their business. I want to touch briefly on the risk involved here. Just one more time, I want to know how likely it is that I could go to jail for, not me, because I'm not raising money right now, but if I was a small business raising money and I made a mistake, how likely am I to actually be taken all the way down the pipeline to the point where I would be jailed? I think all of America knows the name Bernie Madoff, and we know that Martha Stewart went to jail for insider trading. But what about small business dealers? Like, I might think that as a small business dealer, the SEC wouldn't be looking at me because I'm just like small potatoes. How true is that? And what's my risk of going to jail?
Well, okay, there's a lot of truth to that statement. And to borrow a a colloquialism. Size does matter. So the size of your offering, how many people were affected by it, does play into the calculation of the SEC to decide whether to pursue somebody. I believe that to be true. So, but if there is a general rule of thumb threshold for, you know, when they might take action or when people would think that they would do it. But if they don't do it, that doesn't mean nothing's going to happen, because a lot of times matters that are so below their threshold are referred out to the states. And the states are the ones who oftentimes become the biggest risk to the smaller companies. And so with respect to the question about, well, how likely is it I'm going to go to jail, it's not likely at all that the SEC proceeding would result in you going to jail, in the sense that the SEC is not a criminal agency. All they do is enforce the laws at a civil level. The states, on the other hand, are almost, I can't think of an exception to this, every single state enforces its criminal laws through its attorney general. And the securities laws are both criminal and civil at both the state and federal level. So while the SEC, for example, is not prosecuting people at a criminal level, those same statutes that it enforces are also enforced by the Department of Justice and the U.S. Attorney's offices.
So Attorney Russell Weigel, tell me also, in addition to the SEC or the state or the federal government coming after me, if I make a mistake with a financial offering, what happens with private plaintiffs? Can the investors go after me too?
Yes. Well, that's another part of the criminal equation too, is that investors, people that are mad at maybe the results of the offering, mad for some reason about how their investment went, can beat the drum and often do beat the drum for state and federal criminal prosecution. And they may also be bringing their own private cases and hoping that either a state or federal authority will prosecute whomever, and that they can, at a lower cost, jump on that bandwagon and benefit from the criminal prosecution of the business owner. Because if the criminal authorities have acted first, then a lot of times the private plaintiffs can keep their legal fees lower because a lot of the work has already been done.
Russell Weigel, you have told me in the past, because you have been on Bold Talk Business Radio a month ago with me, you told me that it's really important for a small business owner to know who they're getting in bed with, to know who the people are that are investing in their company. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes. I think that the one of the most important things a business can do if it's thinking about raising capital is simply to take a lot of time to plan it. And in the course of planning, you are sort of engaging in a self-analysis about what your resources are and who your likely audience is that you're going to be reaching out to try to get capital from them to invest in your company. Well, up until 2012, the law had always been that you could only, on a private basis, raise capital from your friends and family unless you did a registered public offering. That was would have been either state registered or SEC registered or both. And in 2012, the Jobs Act, the Jumpstart Our Business Startups Act of 2012, was made law, and that changed it opened up, I should say, the opportunities of businesses to raise capital from a much broader segment of society. And one of the most important aspects of that is that it allowed so-called private offerings to be advertised, which was a gigantic change from the way that businesses were allowed to raise capital between 1933 and 2012. It literally turned the system on its head to an extent by allowing private offerings to be characterized as what would seem to be public offerings to be characterized as private offerings, because now you can as a business owner, you can seek capital by advertising it and generally soliciting it nationwide, globally, if you are so inclined, through social media or any media that you choose. So the planning of this is, now that you have the ability to bring in all kinds of people that you don't know, then virtual strangers, you ought to do an extra level of due diligence on them in the first place, if you can, to make sure that they're not litigious, they're not people who are likely to cause problems for you at some point down the road. When you're doing friends and family offerings only, by the very nature of it, you know who they are. You should know their backgrounds. You should know their appetite for litigation. And now this idea of crowdfunding and nationwide general solicitation changes all that, opens up a lot of doors, but also lets a lot of strangers in.
Sure. And one of the questions that I have spinning in my head as you're saying this, and I'm thinking about myself as a business owner and the people that I'm letting into my company as investors who I'm either giving a stake in the business to or I'm doing a loan to the business with them. They're now looking at my company and they're watching what I'm doing. How often do you see cases where the investor now wants to tell the small business owner how to run their business because the investment money is now involved?
Well, that is a scenario that is common in certain situations. For example, in companies that have raised money from professional investors, such as venture capital firms or to some extent to private equity firms, oftentimes those institutions, if you will play a very heavy hand in how you run your business. They may want to take control of literally the disbursements of all of your cash, paying all your bills. They can take complete control if you let them. In some cases, it's going to be very beneficial for a business because a lot of times they don't have the know-how basically internal resources to manage their business. They have great ideas, but they really need a professional to come in and help them manage it. And that can be good for them, but also it can be extremely constrictive.
Right. So you really have to know who is going to be involved with your company and, I guess, lay out the groundwork in advance for what they're allowed to do as an investor and what they're not and how much say that they have in your business going forward.
Well, that's right. And the way things are in the current environment, it's sort of a buyer's market in the sense that the companies are the ones looking for money, and they're a lot of times can be desperate enough that they're willing to take anybody's money and not look beyond the money at who's offering it. And so there ought to be some sort of restraint in the sense that business owners ought to think about the real cost of that capital to them, because if they're going to have to yield control of their companies, they're going to be oftentimes giving up a substantial amount of the equity of their company, and thereby diluting their future. That ought to be looked at as a cost of the money that they're getting.
This is Donna Anselmo on AM 1300 WMEL, the Talk to Me station. We are broadcasting the Capital for Keeps Hour today with attorney Russell Weigel, who is an investments attorney with experience in working for the SEC before starting his private practice. That leads me to what I think is a perfect question for you. As you're talking about business owners looking for capital, how is the financial environment for business fundraising now? What are you seeing?
Well, on the one hand, there's still a lot of money, I believe, that's on the sidelines. There's still a lot of reluctance of investors to get back into the market after the fallout from 2008. But there's more activity. I think this year is better than last year in general, that some of the purse strings are starting to be loosened to some extent. People have been, I think, getting more active, or I should say people, business owners are getting more active in trying out the looser restrictions now, like, for example, the ability to generally solicit. A lot of people are doing that now and trying to post their capital needs on the internet and in other forums, and to some extent some of those folks are getting funded.
Let's talk a moment about those other forums. What do I risk if I go to something like, I think Brighthouse, correct me if I'm wrong here, but I think Brighthouse is out there doing something called Pitch Six, where people can come and pitch to some investors about their company and the funding that they're looking for. I know that there are other organizations, and from not-for-profit groups to public relations groups, that bring in investors to hear pitches from small business owners. How do you feel about that, and how safe is that for a business owner to do?
I think it's, on the one hand, it's great because it exposes the businesses to a much broader segment of society, in the sense that, you know, they have much greater opportunity to get capital, hopefully from somebody that they can form a good relationship with, somebody who's going to have a long term interest in their company, hopefully, and somebody who's not going to unduly constrict it. And at the same time, they have to be vigilant with these people, and because the exemption that allows general solicitation is extremely dangerous, in the sense that if the issuer doesn't vet the investor sufficiently, just having one investor in the deal who ultimately proves not to be fully accredited means that the whole offering can be rescinded. The business owner can be personally liable for the entire amount of all the money that was raised, and in the case, oftentimes, of state-level issues, if the states were to take an interest in that scenario, they can and do and have prosecuted people, put them in jail just for violating the registration requirements that would apply in their state.
Russell Weigel, would you tell our listeners what an accredited investor is?
Well, there's a regulatory definition, and the long and short of it is that there's two ways to characterize an accredited investor. One's called the asset test, and the other is the income test. And the income test has not changed in many years. It's basically, it has a two-year look-back period from the time of the investment, and if the investor has $200,000 in revenue over the two-year period, they are deemed to be accredited. If they count their spouse's income as well, they have to show $300,000 in income. And the asset test did change a couple of years ago, and the test now is you must have at least $1 million liquid net worth, which excludes the value of your personal residence.
So that lets our listeners know, and thank you to the WMEL listeners who are tuned into our broadcast today. That lets you know why this matters to you if you want to raise dollars for your business. Let's talk now about what business owners need to know from a tips standpoint so that they can do things right. The first thing I think people might be wondering about is what makes a document or a solicitation a security. We have 30 seconds to answer that question, and then we're going to go to break. Stay tuned, because we'll be coming back.
AM 1300 WMEL.
Our forecast calls for a 70% chance of rain today, high near 72, with winds out of the east gusting up to 20 miles per hour. Tonight, a 40% chance of showers with a low of 67. Sunday, mostly cloudy with a 40% chance of rain and a high of 79. Sunday night, patchy fog with a low of 62. And Monday, after the fog burns off, partly sunny with a high near 76. Hear the Folds of Honor Quick Trip 500 live from Atlanta tomorrow at noon on your home for NASCAR, AM 1300 WMEL.
Hello, Space and Treasure Coast. This is Sita Begee, host of Sita and Friends on the Talk to Me station, AM 1300 WMEL. Each week on Sita and Friends, I talk with some of the most fascinating people in the area on a variety of topics. So make a date to talk to me, Sita Begee, on Sita and Friends, Mondays following the noon news here on the Talk to Me station, AM 1300 WMEL, and worldwide at 1300WMEL.com.
AM 1300 WMEL.
Moscow police say they are looking for those responsible for the murder of a Russian opposition leader, Boris Nemtsov. Correspondent Frederick Plachin.
On the one hand, he was supposed to attend a rally tomorrow here in Moscow, where the main feature of that rally was going to be Russia's policies in Ukraine. Another thing that he apparently also said was that he had some new information on what exactly was going on in Ukraine. We have all this from opposition sources.
Another storm packing freezing rain, making travel difficult in parts of Texas and Oklahoma. Roads are iced over, more than 1,000 flights canceled.
Dallas-Fort Worth, the leader in delays and cancellations across the country this afternoon. There's over 1,300 flight delays and 1,100 flight cancellations at this hour, according to FlightAware. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
That's after some 600 flights were called off yesterday, forcing about 5,000 travelers to spend the night at the airport. I'm Molly Page.
Our forecast calls for a 70% chance of rain today, high near 72, with winds out of the east gusting up to 20 miles per hour. Tonight, a 40% chance of showers with a low of 67. Sunday, mostly cloudy with a 40% chance of rain and a high of 79. Sunday night, patchy fog with a low of 62. And Monday, after the fog burns off, partly sunny with a high near 76. Hear the Folds of Honor Quick Trip 500 live from Atlanta tomorrow at noon on your home for NASCAR, AM 1300 WMEL.
Health First Health Plans presents Understanding Medicare.
When you turn 65 and are eligible for Medicare, you're faced with many questions about your health insurance options, and you're not alone. In today's Understanding Medicare, we're going to answer a question you may have about Medicare. What are Medicare Advantage plans?
A Medicare Advantage plan provides comprehensive health plan options through a private insurance company that has a contract with Medicare. Medicare Advantage plans offer all the coverage of original Medicare plus extra benefits like gym memberships.
Understanding Medicare, presented by Health First Health Plans.
WMEL 1300 Cocoa Beach, Melbourne, Palm Bay. Nominated Business of the Year by the Cocoa Beach Regional Chamber of Commerce.
The Space Coast Jazz Society is awarding two Brevard County High School seniors $2,500 each in jazz scholarships this year. Help the Jazz Society continue to raise money for scholarships by attending a live jazz benefit on Sunday, March 8th, 2 p.m. at the Cocoa Beach Country Club. Tickets are $25 at spacecoastjazzsociety.com, $30 at the door. The Space Coast Big Band will perform, plus two more bands from the Florida Institute of Technology. I'm Bobby Vance from the Space Coast Jazz Society, and we're glad that WMEL cares about the space and Treasure Coast.
Glorious, fresh powder.
A snowy, wintry bounty from the sky above.
That's Timberline Resort, located in wild, wonderful West Virginia.
It's heaven, and it's so close, you're almost there.
Step out of Timberline Hotel and Suites and hop right on a lift.
Stargaze while you night ski on the White Lightning Trail.
Experience glade skiing adventure
on freshly powdered tree-lined trails.
Call 1-800-SNOWING.
Or log on to timberlineresort.com.
It's like heaven.
You're almost there.
Disabled American Veterans is dedicated to one single purpose, fulfilling our promises to the men and women who served. March 13th through the 15th, in the company of a vintage B-25 Mitchell bomber, DAV brings its message of support of veterans to the Tyco Warbird Air Show. In its modern-day mission with DAV, the B-25 serves as a reminder of the service and sacrifices that veterans make for our freedom. Meet the DAV flight team and the B-25 at the Tyco Warbird Air Show. Head to DAVflightteam.com for more information.
Do you want to make a difference and stay fit at the same time? Then join the Brianna Marie Foundation 3rd Annual 5K Race at Wickham Park on Saturday, March 14th at 8 a.m. Bring your entire family and enjoy all the fun. To register, go to BriannaMarieFoundation.com and enter code word LILY10 and get 10% off your registration. This is Lillian McDermott, and I'm glad that WMEL cares about fetal therapies research.
This is John Moore from the WMEL Space Desk.
Join us this Sunday, March 1st, for the night launch of a SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket carrying the Eutelsat 115 West B and ABS-3A communications satellites. This launch marks the first time two satellites have been in a conjoined configuration for delivery into orbit. Coverage of the launch begins at 10:30 p.m. for a scheduled liftoff at 10:49. Launch coverage can be heard here on WMEL 1300 AM and worldwide at 1300WMEL.com.
AM 1300 WMEL.
This is Bull Talk Business Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, the CEO of Bull's Marketing Solutions, Donna Anselmo.
Welcome back to the second segment today of Bold Talk Business Radio on AM 1300 WMEL. We're here today with investment attorney Russell Weigel, and we're going to get back in a moment to talking about why people need to be very, very careful when they're raising money for their business. In the meantime, I just want to ask you a question about a topic that's been on the news. Did you see the recent TV and internet news about bed bugs and how they are continuing to invade our society and the very fabric of our lives? If you have a concern about bed bugs getting into your business, into your workplace, or into your home, and they can come from anywhere and they do not discriminate according to cleanliness or according to economics, look up the bed bug blog report on the internet, bedbugblogreport.com. Okay, so now we're going back with investment attorney Russell Weigel. And we were talking a little bit before we left off about what investors can do to protect their companies and to protect their own business revenues and the security of their business when they're out offering securities for investment. One of the things I'd like you to know is that attorney Russell Weigel, who is with us in the studio today, is the author of a book, Capital for Keeps, Limit Litigation Risk While Raising Capital. And it is available at www.capitalforkeeps.com. Russell Weigel, would you like to tell us a little bit about your book?
Well, the book, Capital for Keeps, is the sort of a product of my 25 years of being a securities attorney. And it involves my experiences both as an investigator, a prosecutor, and defense counsel, transactional counsel. And the ultimate goal of the book is really to address the to advise and educate small company executives and entrepreneurs about the risks they face when raising capital. And as I mentioned, these are experiences that I've seen firsthand on various sides of the table. And the book really, it's meant to be an advisory, if you will, to the large volume of people that lost their jobs in the Great Recession and became small business owners. They became entrepreneurs and faced with the prospect that they cannot get funding from banks, which they all or most of them learned the hard way. They naturally turned to the investing public as the resource to get financing, which they, many of them need and to jumpstart their businesses. And did not know that they were walking into a regulated field. That is the purpose of the book, to advise them inexpensively that, this is a very dangerous thing to do.
Okay, well, I'm glad that your book is going to clear that up for people, and I know it will because I've been reading it, and it's really enlightening. I had no idea how many little details and regulatory situations I would not have known about if I didn't read your book, and it's written in very plain language. So if you're a business owner out there interested in raising capital, this book is a must-have for you, truly. It's called Capital for Keeps, and visit www.capitalforkeeps.com. So right now, since we have Russell Weigel with us and he can tell us live what we can also read some of in his book, let's find out a little bit about if I'm going to raise money and I want to really know how to do it right. I'm a small business. I want to solicit investors for my company or idea or product. Where should I start?
Well, I'd say the first thing to do is to assess yourself, assess your business, analyze what your resources are. I call that taking inventory. You want to know what the capabilities of your employees are, what your cash needs are for the business, how you're projecting how much money you're going to need to get through the next 12 months, for example, and really who your friends and family are primarily, because these are the most likely sources of capital. Regardless, your friends and family are always going to be your most likely source of capital because they're the ones who are more likely to overlook perhaps your lack of track record or something about your background that investors might not find, like strangers might not find acceptable. They may be willing to take the risk on you, when others wouldn't. So
I've known several small businesses that have done friends and family rounds of fundraising. And I've also worked with companies and spoken with a number of other business coaches who talk about the implications of what happens when family gets involved in business. So where is the best way to raise money? Does it just depend on your initial situation?
Yes. Well, I said, I didn't encourage you to get money from your friends and family. It's just that that's certainly a logical place to look and consider, because those people, frankly, they may not have any money to give you or to lend you. And so taking, assessment of the business and your resources is just the first step. It's also, identifying, if you can, the areas that would help you in terms of, running the business or growing the business through outside counsel. And that could mean reaching out to attorneys who are specialists in different areas that are going to be areas that your business is going to enter, or types of services it may offer. It could mean that you should be talking to accountants who have special expertise in either startup planning or tax issues or international trade issues. I mean, depending on what your business does. And ultimately, I think most businesses could benefit from having a coach. Like the management could have some person with an expert in running business to advise them ways that they can avoid making mistakes that are often commonly done by people who are stepping out into this area, because it's been done millions of times before. People have a lot of experience and wisdom that they can give you, and hopefully save you some time and money in the operations of your business.
You're listening to AM 1300 WMEL, the Talk to Me station. This is Donna Anselmo, host of Bold Talk Business Radio. We're speaking with investments attorney Russell Weigel today. And I can tell you also, as a business coach, that many people don't take a next step in their business because they fear that they're going to make a mistake. Some people just, they don't even think about it. They just get going. But if you want to avoid making a mistake, but you want to take the right step, the most important thing to do is to be informed, become informed, learn what you need to learn, seek the resources of business advisors that can help you. And remember that as long as you stay on a learning path, you will do well. I think another important reason to pick up on Mr. Weigel's statement that people should consult a business coach is that a coach plays a very important role. It's not just somebody who's going to tell you what to do. A coach is there on a month-to-month basis with you, or as frequently as you bring that coach in, to help you stay accountable to the plan. And having a good plan is something I know Russell Weigel would endorse.
That's right. I mean, I have to have accountability as a small law firm owner, and I use coaching resources from time to time for exactly that reason. I just need it. I need somebody else to hold me accountable to my own goals.
It's interesting also on that standpoint that We don't always know what we don't know. We don't always need to be expected to know everything. But if we bring in the right advisor or the right coach, we can get the additional information that we need. And we can, once we've told somebody we're going to do something and we put that word out there publicly, even if it's only as distant as that one person, you're more likely to stay focused on the goal because somebody else is expecting you to perform on that. So now, I want to ask you another question, Russell Weigel. I watch shows like Shark Tank and The Prophet with Marcus Lemonis. I love those shows. But here are people who put some money up to help somebody else in business. And at the root of it, they're there to make money on their investment. Most investors are just not giving you money because they're good guys. They're giving you money because they're looking for a profit or a stake in a business somewhere down the line. So how can a small business owner or even a larger company structure a deal so that they can retain control of their company?
Well, there are a number of ways that you can structure a deal to achieve that, and that's certainly an appropriate goal. Most often, the capital sources, if you can, if you, the business owner, can utilize this. The easiest thing, I think, is simply to obtain debt financing. And it's oftentimes a difficult thing for some businesses to do this, but the long-term benefit of it, if you can pay it off, there's actually lots of long-term benefits, frankly, because if you can pay off a debt offering, that debt was, if offered to investors, gave them a return. It can be structured many different ways so that the interest payments are deferred for some period of time, perhaps a year or two.
So in simple language, just to jump in here, for our listeners to know, when you're talking about a debt offering, you're talking about a loan?
Ultimately, yeah, it's a loan.
Okay.
And so you're getting loan funding, but that loan funding, if it's not from a bank and it's from investors, it's a security. It's a regulated offering. But the benefit to you is that by having that debt there, that debt presence, as soon as you pay it off, you've eliminated your investors.
Right, and you are back in control.
Exactly. You're back in complete control, and probably your business capitalization at that point is higher so that the value of your equity is higher as well. You haven't given anything away in terms of, you know, an ownership percentage of the company necessarily, although I will say that some debt offerings, or many debt offerings, frankly, have other features to them such that the debt investor might get some equity or be able to expect that the payoff would not be in cash. It might be in stock in the company. So there are different ways to do this, but a lot of times a deal that's structured from the business owner's perspective to his or her favor is going to give away the least amount of equity possible. That would be one way.
Well, that sounds like good common sense. If you can get somebody to lend you the money, you take on a debt, you pay off the debt, it seems a lot less complicated than what happens when you have an investor at the table with you for the long haul. What do you think about people, particularly in the investment field, who are basing an investment plan on common sense? Because sometimes common sense is really important, but is it enough?
Common sense in the regulated securities world would not lead anybody to the conclusion or awareness that there is danger out there. In my view, common sense should be abandoned, frankly, and that you should really think long and hard and seek the wisdom of counsel from others before engaging in anything that involves bringing an investor into the mix. Because the moment you make an offer for whether it's a loan or an equity position in your company, that offer carries with it the full impact of the federal and state securities laws.
Right. So when funds are transacted with the implication of investment, don't do business on a handshake because there are so many regulations that you don't know about and have not accounted for that you can get yourself into deep trouble.
Well, that's right. A lot of business transactions, a lot of business financings are conducted. In fact, I think most are conducted without the benefit of any counsel. They're done informally and friendly, and that's the way that they are intended to be. But sometimes it doesn't work out that way. That things stay friendly, and people get greedy. Different things happen in their lives that change their perspective on the, you know, the reasons for the investment, or they're not happy with the return they're getting, or maybe they didn't get a return, or because it's not documented, maybe they're even not getting paid by the owner. So, you know, all of these situations can be addressed with a written document in the beginning, and should be, in my view.
I think that's great advice. Russell Weigel, what is the worst case scenario you've seen happen? I mean, does the perfect storm, and when does the perfect storm actually happen?
Well, I don't want to talk about this from personal experience, in a sense, because I do know folks at this very moment who are sitting in jail, and I could say that I was not their securities counsel during their transactional issues.
Let's speak hypothetically about a perfect storm brewing and what gets people into trouble.
Well, the lack of knowledge about how things are really working out in society, I think, is just fundamental. If you can educate yourself on the process before. It all goes back to initial planning. I mean, the more counsel you seek, the more people you ask, the more views you undertake in terms of your planning, the more likely it is you'll start uncovering these issues that really matter or that can, you know, come back to bite you. And so the worst case scenario is simply that, you know, the small business owner doesn't have any training in the capital raising front. They've read books on where you can get capital or how you can get crowdfunded sourced money or different things, and they try it on their own live. And so it's like walking out into a minefield in reality without the benefit of knowing where the mines are. And frankly, not being told there are mines out there. And so people think because I can, I'll just go on the internet and look for an angel investor network and try to put my offering up there and so forth. And people do it all the time. From my perspective, that's just a really dangerous thing to do.
Well, while I love a show like Shark Tank, I think that there is a danger to having just a little bit of information, because sometimes that little bit of information can lead you to believe that you know more than you do. And so if you're going to watch Shark Tank or watch Marcus Lemonis on The Profit, and you think you see how people operate and you think you're prepared to operate with them, beware and contact an attorney so that you know your options and you know the law, and speak to an accountant and get the best advice possible for yourself.
I think that's really an important point, because there's, you know, TV has made this scenario, it's brought it to our living rooms. You know, the idea that you can just go and pitch money or seek money from these Hollywood stars, but nobody tells you that, I mean, we can assume that the people on TV are wealthy, but we don't know that. And people in watching this on TV, you know, may not, think through the legal compliance issues. And I'm not sure how it works on Shark Tank, for example. I don't know how, before the Jobs Act changed, Shark Tank was on TV, and how those relationships developed when the only thing that was legal at that time was the friends and family style offering. I don't know that the people that were pitching to Mr. Cuban and others on TV were doing it, legally. And the problem is, I mean, I'm sure that they had some compliance, you know, in place to make sure there wasn't a problem. But people on TV, or people that are watching TV, never see any of that. they never see the background of what goes on behind the show and what documents these business owners had to sign, or what representations they had to make and how they got introduced to these folks. None of that is made clear.
And right. So they could meet somebody in a restaurant or at a party, and that person appears to have money and wants to get involved in your business because they think you have a good idea. And they say, sure, I'll throw some money at you. But you don't know that maybe and hopefully the people that you see on television have already taken care of buttoning up all the legal issues, but the friend that you made at a party might not, and in the end, that can come back to bite you.
Well, furthermore, there's lots of spinoffs of the Shark Tank show. I mean, you see them all the time, all over the place. Not on TV, but just there's going to be a pitching event of some kind where investors
Correct.
Are going to be pitching to business owners and vice versa. I mean, and those events, I mean, are frankly modeled on a TV show that doesn't have any disclosure about how things actually work. And that to me is another problem.
Comes back to making sure that you are informed so that when you make a decision, you have the facts that you need to go forward in a way that reduces your risk of litigation. You're listening to AM 1300 WMEL. This is Donna Anselmo on Bold Talk Business Radio with investments attorney Russell Weigel. We've been talking about many issues involving taking money into your business from investors today. What about advertising, Russ? When can I or can I advertise an offering? I know people do it all the time on the internet. Who polices that?
Well, the same folks that have always policed it, the state securities commissions, the SEC, the FBI, those are the usual entities that are out there looking at ads. And And in some circumstances, these can also be private plaintiff's attorneys who are looking for business. And that is the case particularly with public companies, that lawsuits are drummed up by many different people. And I can go into scenario after scenario about this, but, at the advertising of an event about your company, especially about the investment opportunity, is usually something that needs to be thoroughly thought out and reviewed by expert counsel on that issue.
And if you're a listener out there and you go on the internet, you may have seen solicitations coming into your email box from people saying they're from another country, or they're from this country, or they're offering you some kind of a deal, or they're asking you for money, or saying that they have money that they want to place in your business. Be extremely careful. Do not even answer solicitations from people you do not know.
That's right. I mean, to turn this on the other side of the table, the investor who doesn't take the time to adequately vet the opportunity is of course taking a significant risk, but they are protected under the securities laws for their errors.
Well, you're listening to and have spent this last hour with Bold Talk Business Radio. This is Donna Anselmo, your host every week, every Saturday in the 2 o'clock to 3 o'clock hour. We're here today and we'll be back next month again, the last Saturday of the month, with attorney Russell Weigel. And we're going to pick up this conversation to help keep you safe in your business on many levels and to help you understand how you can raise money for your business legally. If you'd like more information on how to keep the capital you raise, visit www.capitalforkeeps.com.
Thank you, Donna. This is great. Thank you.
Well, we have enjoyed having you on the line with us, Russell. We are looking forward.
Look for a 70% chance of showers today with winds out of the east gusting up to 20 miles per hour, high near 72. Tonight, a 40% chance of rain with a low of 67. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a 40% chance of showers and a high of 79. Sunday night, patchy fog with a low of 62. And Monday, once the fog goes away, partly sunny skies with a high near 76. Hear the Garden Rebel, Robert Vincent Sims, Sunday mornings 10 a.m. to 12 noon on the Talk to Me station, AM 1300 WMEL.
Hey, sports fans, we have the show for you. Mouthin' Off with Alan Z, Saturday afternoons from 3 to 5 p.m. right here on the Talk to Me station, AM 1300 WMEL. Tune in every Saturday for a live and local look at the world of sports and interviews with some of the biggest sports writers and athletes. Mouthin' Off with Alan Z, Saturday afternoons 3 to 5 p.m. right here on the Talk to Me station, AM 1300 WMEL, and live online at 1300WMEL.com.
WMEL, Cocoa Beach, Melbourne.